This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
After four rounds of group games, only two teams have qualified for the knockout stages of the Europa League, and with the round of 16 playoff round and Conference League places up for grabs, the other 30 clubs still have plenty to play for as we head into match day five. This is Betting Weekly Extra Time, Europa League edition. You're with myself, Dan Roebuck, and returning RJ, Steve Wiss and Will White. A lot to get through on this week's show. Nine plays, five leans, including a couple in the Conference League. This show is running at 12.04% return on investment. It is a moneymaker, unlike the Champions League. Who said that? Let's start off with Sparta Prague against Real Betis. Thursday, 12:45 Eastern, early kickoff, the only early kickoff we're going to look at. RJ is tackling this one for us. Sparta Prague plus 143, Real Betis plus 185 on the money line with the draw plus 250. Two prop bets for us, RJ. We are talking shots and corners in this fixture. Tell us all.
Yeah, first off, thanks, Dan. Good day, everyone. Good to be back with you all after international break. Yeah, targeting two plays in this match. I normally don't like to put all my eggs in one basket here, but I just decided to roll with what I think is some of the two best plays in this match day five here. Sparta Prague versus Real Betis. Shots on target over 9.5 at plus 115 and corners over 9.5 at minus 118. Sparta currently ranked third in Group C, sitting with 4 points. Real Betis first spot in Group C with 9 points. So it's a big match for both sides. Betis can essentially just get away with a draw in advance. But Sparta, on the other hand, at home, have been quite impressive. When unbeaten over the last 12 home matches, you know, could be significant. They are favorites, as the oddsmakers have them, as you stated, Dan, at plus 143. Betis, on the other hand, have also been in strong form with recent wins over Aris Limassol of Cyprus, Mallorca, Hernan Cortes, which we talked about in the last show where they won, 12-1 or they put up 13 goals, something of that nature, and then Osasuna. And then Betis have some injury concerns, some long-term injury concerns, but I still think they are the stronger side, but because the home field advantage here for Sparta, we looked at the prop market. So shots on target over 9.5, as stated, this was one of the highest totals in Europa match day five. Looking at Sparta at home, they averaged 12.2 shots on target per match. Betis, on the other hand, on the road averaged 9.9. So let's call it 10 shots on target per match. That brings our average close to around 11, and at plus money, I thought this is certainly a match that I wanted to target for shots. Looking over ahead at corners, Sparta at home averaged 10.2 corners per match. Betis on the road, 11.4, just under 11.5 corners. And this was also strong because each side here averaged over 64% of the time see over 9.5 corners, and 72% of the time see 9+ corners. So very strong play from a statistics perspective. This match has merit, has meaning. For both sides, particularly Sparta, I expect them to try to just, because of the nature of this match, attack, pile on shots, corners should attribute from that, and two plays in this match, over 9.5 shots, over 9.5 corners.
Sometimes, Will, when you look at games and you look at one market and it's related to another, you can find two bets in the same game. Do you find that at all? Or do you just think, I'm just going to have one bet on this match? Or if you see an overs, do you look at both teams to score? Do you look at correct scores? Can it work out that way sometimes?
For me, because my favorite markets are Asian handicap and total goals, Asian total goals, they're kind of correlated anyway. So it's natural for me to like the underdog and unders goals or the favorite and overs goals. But that's not always the case, probably 50 to 60% of the time. That's the way I'll see it. Yeah. So there is correlation out there, but I think RJ's style's slightly different. So he's probably the expert on talking about correlations in those type of markets.
Certainly shots on target and corners, you tend to think they're in the same ballpark. Steve, any thoughts on when you're looking at markets and you're looking at games? And I mean, always overs is the one that springs to mind, isn't it? You think, if I'm going to go 2.5, should I go over 2.75 on the Asian? Should I go over 3 and so on?
Yeah, layer betting, I think they call it in America. Look, this the temptation to actually put, as RJ said, your eggs into one basket is mightily, you know, high sometimes. You just see a match and you're so confident it's going to be goals, or you're so confident in a certain team's going to win big, then you start. I've even occasionally done layered Asian handicap betting to like -2, -3 when the line's like -75 or something. So yeah, it's there. And if it comes off for you, you're laughing.
Well, this is it. When it comes off, you can really strike it. Let's hope that is the case for Sparta Prague against Real Betis. Rangers against Aris, the next one we're going to take a look at, 3 p.m. on the Thursday. Rangers -400, very, very short. Aris +950. Can't remember the last time the Rangers were this short in a group game in European competition. A win will see Rangers qualify, Steve, whatever happens in the other game. And they're going to know the result of the other fixture as well. That's going to be a plus for them, I would imagine. How are we tackling this one? Aris are a big price at 950. What do you think?
The bet I'm going to go with here is both teams to score, yes, at -112. And I watched the previous game, Betis against Aris. I actually ended up having like a rage bet on this match because I think I had lost on the Aberdeen fixture. And I just thought, sod it, I'm going to back Betis on a -1.75. I know we had a bet on that game. We didn't expect many shots on target, especially from Aris, but it was a big scare. They won 4-1, Betis, but Aris proper had a good go. The amount of dangerous moments they had was unbelievable. Fully deserved at least one goal. Probably should have had another. I think they had two disallowed for tight offsides. And it kind of reminded me, they went to Sparta Prague and scored a couple of goals. They've actually got a 50% shot on target ratio for accuracy in away games so far in this group. And I think they can get on the score sheet. I mean, we presume Rangers will score. They're expected to win this game. I think when they're expected to win as a favourite, they're probably going to open up a little bit more, Dan. So I did look at the goals overs in this fixture. But the line's 3.25. So, you know, ultimately, if that's going to go over 3.25, then probably Aris are going to contribute, right? I mean, it could be 4-0. But I think, really, I need to show a few more balls here and actually back the Cypriot side to get on the score sheet. Rangers probably win, but they can be prone to sloppy moments, can't they? You know, I've said before about their new manager, Philippe Clement, does have a history of being involved in some shootouts. He's an interesting guy to follow, by the way, on Twitter. He always tweets after the games. He tweeted that he had a draw against Aberdeen at the weekend and said, "We didn't get the 3 points we deserved," even though they got a very, very generous VAR penalty in the last minute. So give him a follow on Twitter.
I think when we were talking qualifiers with Rangers, we found out that they were susceptible to conceding against lesser lights in Europe. When they conceded against Servette, there were some interesting games, weren't they, involving Rangers. That's Rangers. Aris, we like both teams to score, yes, at a shade worse than even money. Villarreal Panathinaikos is an interesting one, Will. This again, 3 p.m. Eastern, all the games from here on in, 3 p.m. Eastern. Real -109 here, Panathinaikos +275, and the draw +280 on the money line here. A much changed team defeated Maccabi Haifa in Cyprus. They were awful on the day, but just about got the job done when some more senior players were introduced. Now, we've talked about other Spanish sides this week in the Champions League, about whether they would play their first choice La Liga 11. Tend to think, though, here, Will, with a new coach at Villarreal, he will be looking to keep his foot to the floor after a good win at the weekend. How do you see it?
I actually expect Villarreal to rotate in this game as well. I'm not sure how much, but I think whether they rotate heavily or not, if they do rotate and they have those weapons left on the bench, the likes of Gerard Moreno and
Alex Baena,
I mean, those guys will be on the bench if they don't start the game. And you know, if Villarreal are kind of level or behind after 60 minutes, they'll they can quite easily come on and change the game completely, as we saw against Maccabi. I know this is a group that's quite close to your heart, and we have had success in this group previously. I'm going to be going back to the well. I like Villarreal here a lot. I just think they're a completely different team, albeit after only one match with Marcelino coming back in. The whole mood at the club seems to have completely lifted. Markets have been so down on them all season. There's been money pouring against Villarreal all season. Makes me believe that somebody perhaps knew something was going on in the dressing room, and that the previous manager didn't have the support of the players. You know, if you think about this game, what has previously traditionally been a top La Liga side here against Panathinaikos, obviously from the Greek league, we wouldn't be seeing a minus half line here. We'd be seeing a minus one, maybe even minus 1.25. I believe these two may have played in a previous season in the Europa League, or maybe it was another Greek team, but the line would have been around that, around the minus 1.25. So it's such a big discount for the poor form that Villarreal have demonstrated so far this season. But I think they're likely to be a completely different team moving forward. They've still got a lot of big weapons, and so, you know, I can see a really big atmosphere at La Ceramica, and with the whole mood at the club lifted, for me, Villarreal should be much stronger favourites, even if they rotate like I expect them to. So Villarreal minus a half at minus 103 is, I think, a fantastic bet.
Yeah, Stephen, and effectively the same play from you here. This play from both of you have got Rory Barlow's fingerprints all over it, Steve.
Well, we talked a lot about Villarreal on the last European show, and Rory Barlow was spot on. I said about getting ahead of the trend, start backing these teams before their form gets better. And this just stood out like a sore thumb to me. I think it's the best bet of the round. Villarreal, I think they've come in now to minus 109. I would imagine they would kick off shorter. I just think they're a far better side, really. Think about it. Spanish opposition for Panathinaikos, it's going to be a struggle to go there. They've lost twice against Rennes, and Rennes have not been in great form. Villarreal have had their issues this year, but the new manager change, I think, will definitely help them. There's a quirk with the manager. He's already faced Panathinaikos this season for Marseille. He got knocked out by them.
What happened there?
Yeah, well, that was the referee. That was all on the referee. I mean, Marseille were ridiculously unlucky in the second leg. They battered them at home, and they had a red card in the away game. But he's going to want some revenge on that, isn't he? But he's going to know all about them as well. Villarreal actually playing next week in the rescheduled game against Maccabi Haifa, I do believe. So they've got plenty of European action. I just think they're a far superior league. Even if there's a rotation, like Will said, they can bring players on. How good are Panathinaikos, really? Yeah, they are top of the Greek league, but I'm not sure about that division right now. I'm really not, Dan. So just a bit of a no-brainer for me. Straight on the nose, on the money line for Villarreal.
Marseille, Ajax next. Marseille minus 159, Ajax plus 390. RJ, only a win will keep Ajax's hopes of making the top two alive. It's incredible the prices we're getting about Ajax at the moment, given the fact that they were Champions League semi-finalists not so long ago and runners-up in the Europa League within the last decade as well. But their stock has fallen. But once again, we go to the props for this one. Talk us through Marseille, Ajax.
Yeah, looking at over 9.5 corners here, minus 109, as you say, how the mighty have fallen. Marseille lead Group B with 8 points, Ajax at the bottom with 2 points. Marseille have been inconsistent in Ligue 1, but they performed pretty well, clearly, in the Europa League. And Ajax are struggling a bit domestically, however, showed improvement over the weekend with a 5-0 win against Vitesse. Marseille has some injury concerns. Aubameyang is going to start. I believe he might be starting on the bench. Ismaili Sarr could potentially be in the starting lineup here. They have defensive concerns. Marseille only kept 3 clean sheets and 3 out of their last 11 matches, and Ajax managed just 2 clean sheets and 2 out of their last 14. But sticking here to corners, this is another prop play. I had a hard time finding an edge otherwise, to be transparent. So looked at corners. Both sides average 11 corners, around 11.04 corners to be exact, in their respective home and away spots. And sitting at over 9.5 at minus 109, close to even money here. I felt there was some good opportunities and the highest corner total that I saw for match day five.
Can I just add something about Marseille?
Go on.
I call me mad here, but I actually think Ajax might be a big price. Marseille, they don't convince me at the moment at all. Ajax have obviously changed their manager. They've got an interim manager. They've just beaten Vitesse 5-0. Maybe they've got a bit more confidence now. And, you know, I don't think they're going to qualify from this group. They could still get third place and enter the Conference League. And Ajax wouldn't mind a run in that, maybe win it. I couldn't trust either side ultimately, but it did look quite a big price at nearly plus 400.
Where's your Marseille cushion, incidentally? Have you got one?
Well, Steve. the problem with the Marseille at the moment, I'm a bit restless when I've got that cushion underneath me because you don't know which version of Marseille are going to show up. They're still in transition with Gennaro Gattuso. I don't think he's very happy with like Aubameyang. I mean, he's basically out of favour again. He's been dropped because of his attitude. So
what a surprise. Marseille Ajax, we like over 9.5 corners, and Steve with a sort of half lean maybe towards getting with Ajax somehow. Hacken Leverkusen next, again 3 p.m. Eastern. Hacken plus 650, Leverkusen minus 278. They have qualified, Will, for the knockout stages, but avoiding defeat will see them top group H and qualified directly for the round of 16. So they will have one less game in their schedule come the spring. What will Xabi Alonso do with his team? Is he going to rotate? Has he rotated in Europa League this season? I know you're very smug with your outright play here of Leverkusen and you're sticking with them here.
Yep, Group H, the 4-4 Leverkusen against the 0-4 Hacken, a world of a golfing class in this particular matchup. We've spoken about Leverkusen a lot on this show previously. To answer your question, I think Xabi Alonso will drastically, heavily rotate here. They've got Dortmund coming up at the weekend, which is a far bigger game for them. But I think their squad is more than deep enough to cope with that. They did heavily rotate away to Molder in match day 3-1. And I'm sure Steve would agree that Molder are the better team out of Molder and Hacken. So, yeah, I really like Leverkusen here. I think the line reeks of a line that's been priced for a team that doesn't have anything to play for. And it's kind of forgotten that Hacken don't really have much to play for either. Another factor here is it's essentially a semi-neutral venue. Steve's mentioned this before on this show. Hacken are used to playing their home games on artificial surface. And this will be played on a grass surface, which you could... a real turf, real grass surface, which you could argue actually suits Leverkusen more than it does Hacken. So you've got to factor that in. You've got to reduce the home advantage here. There is still a very slim chance that Leverkusen don't top the group, I believe. So I think Xabi Alonso has to play some sort of decent 11 and give the fixture and the competition the respect it deserves. And like I said before, that their bench is very deep. Those players will be champing at the bit to catch the attention of the manager with the Dortmund game upcoming this weekend. So Leverkusen minus 1.25, minus 124. Reverse fixture was 4-0. I mean, at the very least here, Leverkusen should win by one goal and that would be a half stake returned. But I see it being a big victory.
That is Hacken. Leverkusen, we're signing with the Bundesliga leaders. Molde Karabag is very much in Steve's wheelhouse here. Molde minus 115, Karabag plus 295. But Molde and Karabag on the same points. Head-to-head could be crucial here, Steve. Head-to-head ahead of goal difference, of course, for UEFA competitions and like FIFA ones. What are your thoughts? What's the play here?
The play is Molde on the money line. And you can get, I think, minus 109 on Molde to prevail. You're right. This is, if they win this game by a two-goal margin or more, they're in. They're qualified. Now, if it ends exactly 1-0, I think we're going to be looking at goal difference. If Molde don't win to nil, I think, according to UEFA rules, then Karabag would own the head-to-head because the previous meeting was 1-0 in Karabag's favour. But don't quote me on that one. But Molde should have enough. I think they're actually better than Karabag. Yeah, they lost the reverse fixture, but that's a tough place to go, isn't it? Let's be honest, it really is. But I think on home turf, on artificial turf, by the way, and it's going to be really cold in Norway this week. Really cold. You're talking, you know, in Celsius, -4, -5. There's an art to playing soccer on an artificial pitch at this sort of temperature, and Molde know all about it. They won their last two against Häcken. You'd imagine Karabag will win the last game against Häcken as well. So this is all on this, really. Molde need to win. They can't expect to go to Leverkusen and get anything, even if they're facing a second string. And I think they've picked up their form a bit since they had a losing run domestically, 3 or 4 in a row. Forget looking at the domestic table. They're only fifth. The elite, Norwegian elite Serien, I think, is quite strong at the moment. There's some good teams. The likes of Brambuda, Glimt, Tromsø as well. So I don't think they've been that bad domestically. It's just a better standard. It's far better standard than Swedish football, for example. And this is a must-win situation. I'm backing them. They look good at the weekend in a away match against Sarpsborg. They've got players back fit and close to even money. It's the home win for me. And, you know, it would be really interesting, wouldn't it, if it was 1-0 exactly. And then we are looking at goal difference potentially down the line.
Will, similar thought here. Give us your thoughts on this game. I know you like Mulder effectively to win this one.
Yeah, I mean, all I've really got to add is that my model makes Mulder much stronger favourites. The line should be closer to -135 according to that. So, yeah, Steve definitely laid the case out for Mulder, and I'd support that.
So the play Molde to get the better of Karabag in that Thursday game at 3 p.m. Eastern. One final official pick before we get a whole host of leans that we will rattle through. The final selection comes from Will. Toulouse against Union Saint-Gilloise. Toulouse +117. USG +210 here. The draw +270. Toulouse can qualify with a win at home. 10 goals in their last two Europa League games. But Will, you're predicting a tighter affair this time around.
Not really. I'm
Oh, you're going over. Do you know what? I've misread my O's and my U and my O's and my U's. You're going over. Continue.
Yeah, we are. We're going over, Stan, over 2.75 line, as we did in match day one, where we were very unlucky to lose our over 2.5 bets in the reverse fixture here, which finished 1-1. Union said, these two teams just strike me as teams that, I don't know if it's something about the XG metric. These two teams, I think, their attacking intent and openness isn't really reflected in those underlying statistics, particularly the XG statistic, as we know, only measures shots. Union Saint-Gilloise, 11 of their last 13 games have finished over 2.5. Toulouse, 4 from 6. I know that's cherry-picking the stats a little bit, but it just feels like this game is set up to be quite open, with both teams possessing plenty of attacking weapons. As you said, Toulouse's last two games have been very, very open, albeit both of them against Liverpool, with 30 and 29 shots respectively. Union Saint-Gilloise also played out two open games against LASK Linz with over 4 and over 3 XG generated respectively in each. It just feels like, to me, this group is kind of coming to the boil, and it's really starting to open up perhaps what we would have expected to see at the beginning when the group was originally announced. And given that Union Saint-Gilloise have to face Liverpool in their final game, they really need to push for the win here. So I think it all sets up for an overplay, and over 2.75 -117 tickles my fancy.
Yeah, game state and group state suggest that this will go over. Certainly the stats do. Thies de Linge commentated on Toulouse at the weekend. Thies de Linge didn't play, he was suspended, but he will be able to play for this one. Their top goal scorer could be a bit of a factor as well, couldn't it? We have got leans galore for you. And obviously the boys pick out their best bets and their official picks, but we know that an awful lot who watch and listen just like selections on as many games as these boys have got thoughts on. So we have got a couple from RJ. We've got one from Steve. We've got two from Will. RJ, let's get yours first of all. Once again, we go props. We've got Sheriff Slavia Prague and Sturm Rakov. Give us your thoughts on Sheriff Slavia Prague first.
Yeah, Sheriff Slavia Prague, under 9.5 corners at -134 is a lean of mine. The average corners between both sides is around 8.4, 8.5 per match. just around 39 to 40% of the time these teams have seen over 9.5 corners in the last 25. I just created this as a lean because of the price. I felt like at minus 134 it was a little bit too much of a reach. There's really not a lot of value here. And it's just a pretty good looking play for all intents and purposes.
That is Group G, 3 p.m., 12:45, an earlier kickoff, Eastern Sturm Rakov. And again, it's the same line, but a different play.
Yeah, Sturm Graz of Austria versus Rakov of Poland, top division, over 9.5 corners at even money, plus 100. It's a good-looking play. I think 10.2, 10.3 is to be expected from a corners perspective. It's just this match offers very little for Rakov. They need to win to even tie Sturm Graz, and then they'll need some goals in the process, and I don't see that happening. So I just thought this match is just not a throwaway match, but a match with very little meaning. And even though the numbers align, I think this is just probably a weaker lean than the Sheriff under 9.5.
We like overs, even money, Sturm against Rakov, over 9.5 corners is the market. We're going to dip into the Conference League and Group D for Steve's play here. You referenced Bodø/Glimt previously. They've been good to watch, I think, haven't they, in the Conference League this season? And indeed, Steve, in previous years when we've seen him in European play, they face Lugano here, and you've gone for the hosts.
Yeah, I would say this is probably my most confident pick on the whole show, actually, in terms of outcome. It's not an official play because we're not logging our Conference League picks this season, but Bodø/Glimt, minus 1.25 Asian handicap at minus 125. I mean, I can tell you right now, Dan, the temperature in Bodø, inside the Arctic Circle here, is after you apply the wind chill factor, is minus 22 degrees Celsius right now. That is minus 7.6 Fahrenheit. Now, it's not going to be quite as cold. Not quite as cold on Thursday, but not far off. This is a brutal location to go. It's harder than a tough place to go. I just can't see how Lugano get close to them. They're not even in the top four in the Swiss League right now. I'm just going to talk Golden Shoe briefly, because right now, Bodø/Glimt have two players in the top 10 race for the European Golden Shoe. And a man in second place, Armel Pellegrino, is only just behind Harry Kane. Now, him and Faris Mumbania is also in the top 10. You could have a same game parlay of both of them to score here at plus 275. I think Glimt will put on a show. They're really strong at home. They're used to these conditions, and this could be a blowout. And yeah, they're a good side to watch, like you say.
Has their domestic season finished, Steve?
Yeah, they are the champions. It's officially in the bag. They rested players at the weekend. Pellegrino, I must mention him. It's amazing he's never had a Norwegian cap.
He looks really good, isn't he? He's a winger, isn't he? Yeah,
he cuts inside. He's really good. Yeah. I can't believe he's never had a Norwegian cap. It's probably why they've done so crap in recent years. Guys like him should be in there, and he's on the penalties as well. And yeah, they just won the championship, and three times in 4 years. You know, Norwegian football in the north is getting strong again. Tromsø are even further north, the most northerly professional soccer team in the world. Yeah. Both are inside the Arctic Circle, and I really feel for Lugano here. This is a horrendous trip for them.
Will, we have got a Conference League play and Europa League play. Let's get Europa League play lean first of all. This is Olympiakos, 12:45, Group A in Europa League. They take on Freiburg here. And it is the Greek side that you like against the German team. It's an interesting play, this one. Talk us through it.
Yeah, it just looks a little bit too big to the eye, basically. Olympiakos, I feel like they're just being underrated slightly, given the fact they're facing a German team. And for them not to lose the game at plus money, plus 108, is a little bit too big. I was impressed with them against West Ham in both legs. And ultimately, I just don't see much difference between the quality of these two teams. My model agrees with me and thinks the line should be closer to plus a quarter of a goal. So yeah, I like Olympiakos to avoid defeat at plus 108. So that's plus half a goal on the Asian line there.
I'm glad that your model agrees with you. What happens if your model doesn't agree with you?
It's a bit of a heart versus head.
an argument. A little bit of a scrap, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a heart versus head situation. And normally I'll normally avoid the game, I guess.
And your conference play is Klaksvik against Slovan Bratislava. This is hot dog territory. We'll get Steve's thoughts on it as well, but you've got a lean here.
Yeah, so Klaksvik, I couldn't resist. Again, we profited from them when they beat Olimpia Ljubljana two match days ago in what I presume were fairly tough conditions back then. I didn't see the game, but they've also previously drawn with Lille at home, who are the standout team in the group, really. Klaksvik are a team from the Faroe Islands, and it's a tough place to go, right? Particularly this time of year. Can you imagine being a player from that's not used to those conditions, traveling all the way to the Faroe Islands and taking on a local team that's really up for it, expecting to win the game and in a tiny little stadium? I think they're being underrated here. At the time when I produced this pick, only the money line was available on Bet Rivers, hence why it was in hot dog territory at +275 for Klaksvik to win this game. Since they've added the Asian line at Bet Rivers, and so you can get them plus half a goal at -120 if you want to be a bit more conservative. I think there's a high likelihood they at least avoid defeat here. So yeah, Klaksvik is my lean.
I was going to say, RJ, Faroes Island, sort of third division is in your wheelhouse, isn't it? Usually, I know this is top flight. What do you know about? Is it Koyoi? How do we pronounce it? Do we know, Steve, RJ?
I just go KI. Will makes a very good point. We've on about weather. You don't want to be going to these places. The Icelandic team as well, Breiðablik, Maccabi Tel Aviv. The last, Ghent, I had a good pick against Breiðablik last time out, but Ghent didn't fancy it. And that was just a few weeks ago. So, you know, I don't know much about Maccabi Tel Aviv, but they might struggle there. I like the under here, by the way. Klaksvik will really fight hard. 0-0 could be possible. I mean, you bet on this league more than me, though, RJ, in the Faroes.
Yeah, to be fair, this last season I haven't. It's been a Klaksvik-dominated league, and aside
too
from that...
Too mainstream for RJ.
It is. It really is. And when I heard Olimpia Ljubljana, I believe, of Slovenia, it perked my interest. But... yeah, me and Steve talked about that briefly on the reaction show a couple weeks ago about weather. I think, you know, dynamically, human nature, it does affect the body. Your ability to move is fast when you're cooler. You have a slower reaction time typically. I think anything below freezing, though, is something to consider when you're making your wages, because when it gets that cool, I think there is some more impact than even potentially wind. To that extent,
can humans get used to it, RJ? If you're used to those climatic conditions day in, day out, are they more than likely to perform better because they're used to it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm no biologist or I don't study science to an extent, but I just know I grew up in an area, especially in the winter, it's very cool, and once you get days and weeks and months stretches of cold weather, you get acclimated to it and you just adjust accordingly. So I think that's a fair statement. Don't quote me though. I don't want to. The medics in the comments to crucify me.
I mean, one thing you should point out is that Klaksvik, you know, they still got a chance of qualification, haven't they? If they win this, they draw level on points with Slovan Bratislava. Right, best bets before we wrap it up. RJ, what's your best play? Europa League match day 5.
Ooh, I am going to go Marseille versus Ajax over 9.5 corners. I do really like both plays in the Sparta match. But I'd prefer to have the standalone match versus picking one out of the two in the joint match there.
Okay, Steve.
It's got to be the best value pick at Villarreal on the money line.
And Will.
This is jinxing us, but it's got to be Villarreal. I mean, yeah, this would have been
-1.25. I mean, you mentioned previously, boys, that it'd been backed. I mean, do we expect them come kickoff, Will, to be even shorter in the market?
I think it depends on team news. If they play, if Gerard Moreno starts, Dani Parejo starts, Alex Baena starts, then they'll be a lot shorter. But I would expect maybe only one of those three to start. So. It's hard to say. It's hard to say how the market will see the team news, but I think it's a great bet at the current price, given all.
I think it's a terrific bet. Yeah, it gets my nod certainly. There you go. I've jinxed it all.
Properly jinxing it now. Yeah.
That wraps up Betting Weekly Extra Time Europa League edition. Many thanks to Steve, Will, and RJ. We are back for match day 6 of the Europa League mid-December. Plenty more content from the Betting Weekly team on our YouTube channel. For now, though, it is goodbye.